Eboshi.
Hey, this is Eboshi from Cartel Madras, and you're listening to CJSF.
I was on the back of your mind. I was on the back of your lap. You were in the back of the car. You were in the back of my heart. I was in the back of the bar. You know what I do? Take things too far. Don't know where to start or begin. Don't know how it ends. Don't know how to say what I meant. Don't know how to say how I feel. Baby, is it real? I was like 34 double Ds. You know what I like? Ice cold.
You're listening to CJSF 90.1 FM. Bernie BC.
Okay, wishing you good life.
Kwee-kwee.
Yo, weak sis.
This is Words and Culture, a series on Indigenous languages, funded by SiriusXM through the Community Radio Fund of Canada and distributed by Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.
Gigat, Sigram Hanak, Gankabosas, Danse, Kiyugani Putis Nagason, Mahikan Totem. My name is Janine Robinson Desjardins, and I'm a member of the Gitsan Nation of Gitanmax, British Columbia, on my mother's side, and a member of the Pamitsikamak Cree Nation, Cross Lake Band of Indians, Treaty 5 Territory in northern Manitoba, on my father's side. I was born in northern Manitoba, but grew up in Winnipeg. As a kid, I spent a lot of time in my mom's territory in northwestern BC. Summertime and some Christmases were always a blast with my many cousins, aunties, uncles, and most importantly, my Ye'e and Zeets, my grandfather and grandmother. It took us 2 full days of driving across the prairies, into the foothills, and finally into the mountains to get to Gitanmax. Nearly 3 days if we took a train. I would always get so excited as we would cross the Hegluget Bridge, because it meant I was almost at my tzitzi's house. I remember watching my Ye'e and my older cousin Brad bale hay and feed all the farm animals, having picnics and fires on our piece of land across from the Bantal, looking up at Stigyodin Mountain. One summer, I remember being on a little tin boat with my Ye'e and my cousin Jordy on the Skeena River. I would have been about 7 years old at the time. We pulled in the net and one of the big salmon was still alive, flopping around. My Ye'e had a little club and hit the fish over the head. I cried a bit, and he said to me, "We don't cry when we have to kill animals. They give their lives to feed our people." That made sense to me, and this city girl never questioned fishing nor hunting again. Gitsan people have relied on salmon and other wildlife for thousands of years. My Ye'e Walter Wilson Tsovasle and my Dietz Doris Wilson Dimdigibu were highly respected hereditary chiefs. Together, they had 11 children, 10 daughters and 1 son. My auntie Darlene Howard is the oldest and speaks our language fluently. She married into the nearby community of Gitsagukla. That has a slightly different dialect of Gitsanamach. I asked her to introduce herself.
Translates to 2 sitting together. My grandfather, the late Anda Up, gave me this name. And I felt offended at first. And then as time went on, I spoke to other elders, especially my mom and my uncle, Tsawakak. And they explained to me what the Father Me One meant. 2 sitting together. So my husband and I are both fireweed. He's from Gitsagukla. I'm from Gitanmax, originally from Gitanmax. And it's a big no-no to marry someone in the same clan. So when I was ready, my grandpa gave me the name the Father Me One. It's like you and Iyukna Duish Willa Wishwai, and La Yukna Duishwai, the Father Me One. Suilakshni Ski, we will work on which what did ne, but I'm the Dwaloi, the Father Me One. Many years later, I'm here. Next day, in Sindhi is way out on Salmon Road, Salmon River Road. I cannot say how many kilometers out that way, but that's the old, one of the old villages where, and the up came from, where Gutgutnuch came from, and where we are now. We reside, I reside in Gitsigukla. We were raised in on Gitmax, but my ancestors were from Sinjil. My home origin, where I was raised, was Gitmax Reserve. I married into Gitsigukla Reserve, which is where I'm at now. My mom was raised on our Lahip while she was growing up. And one of the Lahip she was raised on was Sinjil. It's called Sinjil, the village where my mom was raised. One of four communities where we have our fishing ground, our trap line. They moved each season with the season. But we are from Sinjil. The first village is Anlo, where we currently fish. That was where my brother was fishing before he passed last summer. The other village is up the Salmon Moor, Shemajihot. That's the land, the Lahip that we protected through a blockade. Below Shemajihot, there's Sun, the Skeena. There's the village my ancestors lived in, and I remember going there to fish when we were little. Son, that's the third village. The fourth village is Sinjil, where we're originally from. And we moved those four villages seasonal for trapping, hunting, fishing, picking berries. We had those four villages where my ancestors lived.
When I was a child and into my teenage years and early 20s, I was able to see much of our territory my auntie speaks of. Anlo is our private fishing area accessible to our Wilp. Wilp is a house group. The name of the house group we are a part of is Wilps and Up. The matrilineal family, extended relatives, and kin within that house group is referred to as Wilnadach. We are part of the fireweed clan known as Giskast. My sons have been there and touched their feet on our land and in the river a couple summers ago. Shemajihot is part of our ancient unceded Lahip, where our family blockaded it in 1990 and much of the 90s. I was camped out with my mom, tzitz, aunties, and cousins to protect our land, Lahip, from being clear-cut. It was all part of our battle that is now known as Delkamukh, the Supreme Court of Canada's landmark ruling in 1997. As I've mentioned in our culture, we have house groups, or WILPs, responsible for our given territories. I asked Auntie Darlene to explain in detail what a house group is.
So my role as a house group member is basically to support the work that needs to be done. I support, like, when we had the roadblock in 95, I supported Mom, her and I stayed at the camp. While my sisters, other sisters, those who had experience working with the government, they traveled down to Vancouver, attended the court case, and they won our court case. While Mom and I stayed behind at Shemajihot, protecting our Lahip. So there's two groups, and there's another group. My brother held, along with other house group members. He was the land Lahip protector. That team walked the land our ancestors lived in, and we still do. So the role of responsibility for the team, for my sisters and other house group members, they were educated to stand up to the government when they tried to pull things on us. And our role, my role, and my sister's younger than me, we kept up with the support fundraising for our court case, whether it be baking or whatever it took to fundraise. It takes teamwork to stand up and do the work that we need to do to protect our lahip. We are not unorganized. We are one. We did it single-handedly, our house group. That is our role. We provide fish for our house group members. Our brother provided firewood. We all went on long weekends, camped out picking berries. We camped out at the fishing sites, and my brother used to drive the boat. We'd run in the water and just pull the net out. We smoked the fish, we canned the fish, we salted, we froze for winter supply. That was what we did for our house group. We'll let us under up. We gave fish to our neighboring communities. We gave salmon to the elders back then. My dad and mom used to go from village to village sharing the work we did. One elder, one Samogit from Anspayax, stood up and spoke in the Wilvliligit and congratulated my dad and my mom. Het. Shemgalu am khodi wish oshle. Ama will it. Ja alga. Ama will get it. Helch gemanach. Ja I will. Hanna lit gemanach. It's a mordit negotit red nochtit. More than what money can provide, Amarawilda, the Alvin, we get het, Nithes Aljas Alvin is Nagordir and Nohe. Some lady diftak, Ama Aljas, some actor, some orbitun. A wilt het, it's Gidden Willem. Traditional law. We have to know it. We need to know it. We need to live it. We need to teach it to our grandchildren so that the traditional law will keep going. We cannot change the traditional law. It's not for us to do that. We need to follow the ancestors, the laws of the ancestors. When my late grandfather said, lately, whenever a person passes away, the traditional law changes. That's not the way it should be. We need to stay with the laws of our ancestors. Many, in each house group, or each will not ask, they have their limch oe, that means their own song that derives from their will at us or their house group. We have a Lumpo'e song, and there is two ladies that taught us while we were fishing at Anlo many years ago, and that's my grandmother Violet Brown, who is wife of Anda Up. I'm sorry, I can't remember her Gitxan name. And the other one was Mary Johnson, the late Mary Johnson. They came and they sat and had tea with us around the campfire every evening, telling stories. So one night, these two ladies asked us to sit around the fire, and they taught us our Limpo'e. We were not allowed to use, there was no recordings back then. We had to go with our memory. And then later on in the night, when we settled down in our tents, we'd start singing it. You know, we'd laugh. No, it's not like that. It's like this. And how we how I remembered is how that song Lempoy was formed. Granny Violet and Mary Johnson explained to us about our Lempoy. And they said, you sing it at ceremonies. Like when we say goodbye to a high chief, or Sigidamanach. My mom was a Sigidamanach. She was high standing in our house, but she married a Shemogit, our dad. We sang our Lempoy to dad. I'll use that as an example. Mom asked me to sing it. And that's when you put out your blanket. Dimdigaboo's blanket was laid on there through our song. And we say to our dad, How'd you go? I'm the Willem. Don't look back. We'll be okay. We're putting out Dimdigaboo's blanket, the song, the Lempoy, in other words, to walk on. As you walk into the sunset, we'll sing our Lempoy for you. And this is how it goes. Oh, we some orgit. Ladum sit out, mum, the psadi edis, we some orgitum. Jorosle. Hogli in. Jorosle. How'd you go scat last one? I'm the Willem.
I've heard our Lempoy sung a few times over the years. It's part of our Wilna Dat Adak, our oral history. Hearing it makes me want to learn it with my sons. Knowing our language also informs our connection to our Ayuk, our traditional law. But we may lose our language within my generation. I only know a little Getsenamach and a bit of Cree. I wanted to know what Auntie Darlene thinks about the potential loss of our language.
We are a powerful nation because we still speak our language. I teach it to our children, grandchildren. The biggest fear I have is the younger generation who don't, who are not as fortunate as our children, that no one is teaching them. And I really am thankful for the other Gitsan who committed themselves to teaching the language to our students, our indigenous students. It's really important. That's our strength. Our language, we cannot use it in a bad way. Like by that, I mean, you cannot be talking about that person in front of them. No, we were raised never to do that. The strongest part is, like, say, in our Wilpliligit. That's our strength. It's coming into our Wilpliligit. Lishkigedemget. Amkshua. They're coming in to our Wilpliligit. We're losing it. That's why the traditional law no longer upholds the feast because of that. And it's not their fault. I think the Samogits really need to sit down and say, you know, we can't be doing this. We need to protect our language. We need to protect our business that goes on in the feast hall. Like our Lachit, for example. Look how the government is finding out about us now. It's no longer like we protected our land We still protect our land with our language. We sit down and speak. My team from our Wil'nat'af, they sit down and they talk to the government. But we have a group of Simogits who work against one another and speak with their English language about what we plan. It's like, I don't know, I hate to say it, but it's almost like they're giving away our land, our rights to the government, selling us out. That's what it is. That's the fear I have. We're losing our fish. We're losing. Look at the clear-cut logging. Now we have to travel many miles to get firewood. We have to travel many miles to get our animals, our game. There's no more moose nearby. No more trap lines nearby. Wildlife is coming into the community now. That's the fear that we have. That's what the fear that all the wise Simogits have.
Auntie mentioned the word Simwegit. That means hereditary chief. Before our conversation wrapped up, I asked Auntie Darlene to leave us with some of her thoughts on what her hope is for the future of Gitsanamach, the language of the Gitsan Nation.
Before Mom left us, I lived with her. I took care of her for how many months? I moved in with her until my sister Ardith was able to come move in with her. But during that time, we had many talks. She had a lot of fears. She expressed to me that she knows her time is coming and she feels bad about having to leave us. I don't feel so bad about my children. Who I feel bad for is my grandchildren. What do we have left for them? Like for you, Shanine? I can put the question back to you. What has your grandma left for you? What has our elders left for you? There's nothing. And there's the government still taking, taking, taking. They're not going to stop taking until they've stripped us, much like they did to Indian Residential School. But they're doing this in front of the world. Look how the law removed this one woman who was protecting their roadblock against the government. Oh, I'm sorry, I can't remember the name of this camp by Houston there. The pain in my heart I felt when they led that woman away. Off her lahip, children crying, her grandchildren. Another camp that was stripped. Pipelines are destroying. Logs were clear-cut logging. You know, like, look what they're doing to our rivers now. How many times my dad ended up in court for catching too many salmon or salmon closure? It didn't matter what the excuse was. The fisheries were always there and they tried to belittle my dad. But my dad stood strong. He wasn't going to give up for his Wil'nat'af. Our father clan now are still fishing for what our dad fought for. We don't get any of that. My dad always said, that's your father clan. If you need help, you help them to help you. But we don't do that. We've lost our way. We are losing our way slowly because of what the government is doing to us. And we have these so-called Simgiget who wear blankets and they dance. Oh, and they dish out money, not to us, but to their delegation of select friends in the feast hall. Never mind us, the Gitxen. It's no longer about us. It's about the Simgiget and their delegation of Lishkegetemget, Aushua government, were going to be extinct. I'm very sad because I have great-grandchildren. Mom's great-grandchildren, great-great-grandchildren. What do we have for them? We need to be diligent with our mouth, speak the truth, and look the person, the government, in the face when we speak. If a handful of us keep exercising the traditional law, the language barrier is the powerful part. We start speaking Gitsenwach in the Wilfliligit so that the Lishigedemget won't know what we're talking about. The Simgiget need to start using due diligence so that they can start thinking about their children, their grandchildren. I've seen too many chiefs pass away. Now their grandchildren have lost their way. It makes me sad, and I don't want that for my children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren. That's not who Gitsan is. Gitsan women need to start standing up and speak the truth with strength and live the truth with our language.
I understand why my Auntie Darlene feels frustration, as many of our people do. She's lived through a lot, has seen many changes, and witnessed so much stripped away from our nation. But she hasn't lost hope. She finds strength and pride in being Gitsan.
All I would like to say, we each have a legacy, each one of us. Even our children have legacies. I would like to think that my legacy would be to leave something powerful for my children, grandchildren, for all Gitsan. All the Gitsan. Just be Gitsan.
I've always been proud to be Gitsan, to be a part of an ancient matrilineal nation, and from a long bloodline of powerful, resilient women. This project will be a part of my legacy that I will leave. I'm Shanine Robinson Desjardins, your host for the Gitsan episodes of Words and Culture. Remember to follow us on socials for more great content and check out our website at wordsandculture.ca. Amiya for listening.
Words and Culture is made possible with funding from SiriusXM through the Community Radio Fund of Canada. It is distributed through Native Voice One, the Native American radio network. Words and Culture is produced by Kim Wheeler. Kaylin Belair is our audio engineer and editor.
Amiya.
Yami.
Kachu nautano.
Halakasla.
Gikaya kitamatunuhua. We'll see you later.
This is Bird Note. When waterfowl are in decline, hunters are some of the first people to sound the alarm and fund the recovery. Jared Hinson is a project manager with Ducks Unlimited, a nonprofit hunting and conservation group.
The North American model of conservation puts the bulk of the responsibility to fund conservation on hunters, because hunters in general are the consumptive users of those habitats, and they're just more willing to give money to that cause.
That money not only comes from hunting license sales, but also taxes on gear.
So guns, ammo, binoculars, all those sporting goods that you would use for hunting, a portion of that tax goes to the states, and they can then allocate that into conservation funding.
Financial support is just one way that hunters contribute to habitat management.
Waterfowl biologists and scientists have been leveraging hunters for data for almost 100 years now. The big thing now is avian influenza. Hunters are some of the first to see the impacts of that in the field, especially since the main vector for it is waterfowl. And so hunters really play a big role in disease monitoring.
Learn more about how hunters support wildlife conservation in Season 8 of Bring Birds Back. available in your favorite podcast app and on our website, birdnote.org. I'm Jazzy Johnson.